Hey, good evening, gang. It's Wednesday evening, and we are here for our Wednesday Rewind. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this week. And if you were here with us on Sunday, you already got your heads full of this idea, and we're going to bring you up to speed this evening. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer here, and then we'll go to the video and see what our video this evening can add to our discussion before I give some more commentary. Father, we certainly want to acknowledge this evening your oversight. You are our shepherd. You are our great leader. And you are our pastor. And we thank you for the message out of 2 Corinthians 8, however challenging it might be. And we just want to ask that you would let your spirit here settle upon us all, both me as the one giving some commentary and all those who are listening, whether they be on the other side of the planet this evening or listening locally on our own radio station here. May you be pleased by the discussions in Menominee this evening, as well as the discussions in our heart with you, no matter where we are. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are our Lord and Savior, and we thank you again for all that you're doing in our midst, and we praise your name. Amen. You know, Paul the Apostle has now for several chapters actually been dealing with issues that would really only hold sway with mature Christians and with true disciples of Christ. In other words, if that's not you this evening, I doubt very much whether I've had any sway or had your heart, had your ears over the past few weeks. This stuff that Paul has been addressing certainly isn't fluffy cotton candy. It isn't the easy stuff of Christianity at all. It's the reality of the spiritual war that will sooner or later come to all of us who hang around church and hang around Jesus. I think this is the stuff that causes a flight or fight response in all of us as believers. They cause us to bail out on this Christian stuff, or they elicit a passionate running into burning buildings. Now, this week, Paul ventured quite boldly, I might add. He ventured into the issue of financial giving. Now, for us as a church, this issue has always been a priority from our inception. And I'm not really speaking about being on the receiving end of that giving, but rather us as a church being the giver. Indeed, a lot of givers are faithful to the needs of this church particularly, and I am so very blessed by that, but we have made sure that we were and always a collective giver as a church body, not just existing, well, to self-perpetuate. We have made every attempt and given every effort to be a faith church, which clearly differentiating between simply preaching faith as a nebulous magic wand or religious opiate, but I'm talking about actually practicing and living out faith in real life situations. In that respect, we want to be a faith lived out church. And that means that our reach should always be beyond our grasp. We must always have a reach that exceeds our grasp. In our boldness, we have discovered the truth of the scriptural experience that one can never outgive God. We have indeed received that hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, as Mark 10:30 speaks of. Now, once again, that is not meant this evening to reflect some sort of secular investment mentality. Certainly isn't meant to preach a prosperity doctrine. This isn't like playing a sure thing, you know, in the stock market somehow. We must always let go of what should be clearly understood as not belonging to us anyway. Because as disciples of Christ, God owns all of us and everything that we have. Not just saying that we're going to let go in some particular situation, but I mean actually doing it. The fact is, we have been blessed by God, so we might in turn bless others with that blessing, but again, that requires us actually stepping up to the plate and doing it, not just speaking of it. And by such giving, this church that Paul is speaking of in 2 Corinthians 8, this church in Macedonia, this was not a convenient and certainly was not an easy undertaking for this church. Let's make sure we understand this evening that that church in Macedonia was not some plush mega church, you know, from up over on the Upper East Side. They were, by anybody's standards, a bare-bone fellowship that probably should have been on someone else's missional outreach instead of reaching out themselves. In fact, we read that they gave beyond their ability. And again, I have to get us tonight to wrap our minds around this, that flies in the face of the modern thinking within the greater church tonight, a thinking wherein we give our leftovers and we give our hand-me-downs. And never to the degree that we ourselves would feel any discomfort or any sacrifice. But that was not the case with this church in Macedonia. There was more here than just sending a check in this act that they were manifesting. There was indeed the gift. Oh, yes, indeed. But moreover, there was also, according to Scripture here, the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. The fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Meaning, again, they were giving more than just their financial support. They gave of themselves. And this, too, is a heart and thinking that we have tried to emulate here in this church in Wisconsin. We certainly seek to engage the need, but also the particular individual, their need, the church fellowship that we might be ministering to, their need. But it's important to understand that it goes beyond the specific need. There is a relational aspect that is involved here. Now, we get into this issue about giving. We get into this issue about tithe and offering and all the rest. I readily admit that I'm on dangerous ground this evening, but Paul was certainly there before me. Now, statistics here in 2022 tell us that the average churchgoer gives approximately $17 a week to their church. That's the average weekly contribution. Studies have shown that the percentages of churchgoers that actually tithe, and I'm speaking now in the sense of a 10% of their income, that churchgoers that actually tithe is somewhere between 3 and 5%. So, what about the remaining 95%? What are they up to? Well, According to those same statistics, 30% of them give nothing to the church. 50% of them, now mind you, again, this is in the U.S., 50% of U.S. churchgoers, they give somewhere more than zero, but less than 2% of their income. And then 15% give more than 2%, but less than 10% of their income. And that's the 95. Now, certainly it is seriously hard this evening to correlate one's verbal testimony and their life manifest, at least publicly, with the fact that Jesus is our everything. I mean, there's plenty of people out there today that will tell you that Jesus is their everything, but then the lifestyle, especially on this issue this evening, doesn't correlate. Our lifestyle doesn't say that he is Savior and Lord, while we across the board generally engage in a very practical idolatry. Really, what the Bible says is a spiritual adultery with the world, with all of its offerings that we feel that we have to have over the kingdom pursuits. Now, I have to say that when it comes to this fellowship in Menominee, I'm pleased to say, and it's not bragging, I'm just very blessed to be able to say that in most cases, I'm preaching to the choir. Certainly, you that attend this church are not your average in this area. The vast majority of you are quite faithful in your financial support, and the level in which we are in the game, well, it reflects that fact. We have also certainly paid for it in respect that any church that is that engaged as ours, effectively, what we do is we paint this bright red bullseye on ourselves, and Satan makes us his very own special project. As I have said to you before, what is precious to God becomes very important to Satan. Now, certainly, there are those in this church and outside it that have not arrived at this level of maturity yet. And thus, like so many other aspects of Christianity, it's always easy to put off spiritually stepping out of the pack. It's easy to put off doing for Jesus and just keep fostering a mental, esoterical engagement of all things Christ, all things Christian. In other words, we just keep talking the talk. One wherein we say Jesus is first, and we say we love God supremely. We just don't actually love Jesus first, and we just don't actually love God supremely. Now, sadly, Satan and the world has most of us convinced that sacrificing for king and kingdom, it means that if we do that, we're going to somehow miss out on a pleasure or miss out on some wonderful experience. But the reality is, certainly in my own life, I've discovered what many have discovered before me, and that is that God is the key to the best pleasures and the best experiences in this life. But hey, each of us is going to have to come to that conclusion on our own, and because we seldom believe another on matters like this. We believe it's propaganda or that we're somehow being sold a bill of goods. So it's an experiential lesson. It's rarely something that we learn from each other. The question really comes down this evening to where we want to spend our lives. Do we want to spend it in the bleachers? Do we want to spend it in the bleachers just watching the game? Or do we want to spend it on the field playing it? Will we be like Moses, who knew the ways of God? Or will we be like the children of Israel, who only ever knew his acts? Psalms 103, verse 7. Look, many of us tonight are only going to ever embrace being armchair quarterbacks when it comes to spiritual things. Yet I wonder what kind of stories the real NFL quarterbacks could tell us this evening. So I leave you with that this evening. Where do you want to spend this time? Where do you want to spend your life, your physical life, your earthly life on this planet? I, for one, am not going to be satisfied with just sitting in the stands cheering the game on. God seeks for us to engage. God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And for those of us that truly love him, we are certainly going to be seeking him out to do just that.